We're beginning a new Masechta today, Ksubas. So Ksubas talks about the Ksuba that the husband writes for his wife, and along with the Ksuba, there's the actual amount of money that he pledges to that he has a shibud to pay her, or that his estate is going to pay her if he dies or divorces her. With that come various other tnoi ksuba, various other conditions. So those are all going to be discussed in this Masechta as well. And in general, Masechta talks about many of the dinim of the actual marriage. The kiddushin themselves are going to be dealt with in Masechta kiddushin. But here we're going to focus more on what happens after they get married, the ksuba and the various things that come in with that. The Rambam explains, as far as the order, he says Yevamos came first in Seder Nashim because Yibum is something you're required to do as opposed to a regular marriage. You always have an option whether to marry a particular woman or not. Yibum, you don't really have the option. You're told you have to marry this woman or else do chalitza with her. So therefore, what's required comes first. So then we start talking about the regular kind of marriage, which is optional, whether to marry this particular woman. So the only thing is, he says further on, that kiddushin, you would think, should have been earlier, on the ground that kiddushin comes before the ksuba. But he says, because since you have, we learn many of the dinim of kiddushin from a hekesh between it and gittin, so therefore, only after gittin do we then, and in fact, that's the order in which it is in the pasuk. First you have the yotzim beisa, she leaves his house with a get, and then then she goes and marries another man, which is kiddushin. And from that hekesh we learn, and we're going to talk about it a number of times here and there in our Masechta as well, that you have this hekesh between them. And so therefore, so in the Mishnayos also, gittin comes before kiddushin, and kiddushin winds up being the last one in the Masechta. So the Mishnah starts.
Is a ksuva something that's created by Rabbanan, or it's Doraisa?
That's a good point, actually. So the short answer is that it's a machlokes. We're going to have that. We're going to talk about here and there in the Masechta. Now you have these two different amounts for the ksuva. There's the amount for besula and for a non-besula, which we're going to talk about in our pet. The one for a non-besula is definitely Rabbanan. The one for a besula, it's actually a machlokes, a rishonim, based ultimately on a Mishnah at the end of our Masechta, whether it's Doraisa or Rabbanan. In fact, Adayamazir, you have a difference between Sfarim and Ashkenazim in that. Ashkenazic ksubas have the words in the ksuba for a besula, dechazi lichim daraisa, the amount of the money that's suitable for you, daraisa, whereas the Sephardic ones don't, and the Ashkenazic ones therefore could have a larger technical dollar value on the actual amount of money that's in the ksuba, because you have kesef tsuri versus kesef medina. We'll get to that later on in the set. There's also, we're going to get into the Masechta, by the way. I mean, strictly speaking, the word ksuba means written, and usually that's what it is. Ksuba is written. But we're going to discuss, as we go through the Masechta, there were actually places where the minhag was, they didn't actually write out ksuba, they just had a verbal agreement, and it was a known thing that the Chachamim had established that there was going to be X amount of money on when he dies or he divorces her, and there were places where they didn't actually bother writing. So all those kinds of things and many more we're going to go through in our Masechta. So the Mishnah starts off, Besula Nises V'Yom HaRavi, a Besula should get married on Wednesday, for reasons that we're going to explain, V'Almana L'Yom HaMishi, and an Almana, or any other woman who's not a Besula, on Thursday. And so why Daphne should a Besula get, this is a Takana of the Chachamim, that a Besula should get married on Wednesday, the reason is because you have twice a week, there's a Takana of Ezra, that the Bate Dinim sit on Mondays and Thursdays in the city. So you want that the marriage of a Besula should take place the day before Bastin sits. Shim hoyol a Tainas Besulim, hoyol mashkim a Bastin. This way, if he has a Tainas Besulim, then he can go early in the morning to Bastin. Tainas Besulim is, so they get married, they have relations the first time, and he finds, or he claims that he found that she's not a Besula, which we're going to discuss in some detail further on in our paragraph, details of that. What exactly does his claim consist of? What does he claim that he found, didn't found, whatever? Anyway, the point is that now, if she's not a Besula, So there's a few possibilities. It might actually be that she's outright also to him, because there's always the possibility that maybe it means that she was Mizana after the Erisin. If they remember, in those times they used to have generally about a year between the Erisin and the Nisuin. We're going to talk about that now in the Gemara. So conceivably it could be that she was Mizana during that time when she was already an Ashes Ish. After the Kiddushin, and if it was Berotzen, if it was willingly, then she'd be also to him, and if he's a Kohen, then even if it was unwillingly. But of course, it doesn't have to be that. It could be, first of all, it could be that it was unwillingly, and unless he's a Kohen, it's not an issue. It could even be there wasn't Znus at all. It could even be that if there was Znus, it was before the Kiddushin, in which case, even if he's a Kohen, it doesn't ask her to him, unless the man she was Mizana with is somebody who would pass her for Kohona, as we learned about in Yevamos. You could also have, well, in other words, let's say, for example, if she had relations with a cholol, a cholol is not such a good example, he needs to marry her. If she had relations, let's say, with a goy, with a mamzer or whatever, then it would passel her to marry a kohen in the future, even if it was bonus. So there's that possibility. There's the possibility that there may not have even been relations at all. There could be, we're going to talk about in our parak, about the concept called mukas eitz, where she may have just been injured on a piece of wood or something and lost her basulim that way. You could even have, we're going to have examples, you're going to have examples on Daf Tes, Daf Yud, about people who don't seem to have basulin because, like, for example, they don't have the bleeding that would normally accompany it because it's a family trait that they don't do it. So there's all kinds of possibilities, but the point is that if he had, now, the one thing is, so Tainus basulin could conceivably involve that she's also to him, again, in the one case where it was after the Erosin and Berotzen if he's a Yisrael, or even Ba'onis if he's a Kohen. But in any case, his taina of Besulim is not even necessarily that you also to me. It's more that it could be along the lines of Nekach Tos. I thought I was marrying a Besula and it turns out that I'm not. Or at the very least, it could be, look, if you're a Besula, then you have a Ksuba of 200 Zuz. And I wrote out a Ksuba on that basis. You're not a Besula, so I claim I only have to give you 100. So all that kind of thing has to be hashed out and based in. We have to be able to find evidence one way or the other. So now, if the Bata Dinim are sitting on Monday or Thursday, and Monday and Thursday, the point is that we want that the very next day after the wedding, he should be able to go over there. In other words, Rashi says, while he's still angry and upset about it, if let's say you got married on Monday or Tuesday or something, by the time it comes the next sitting of Beis Din on Thursday, he will have calmed down. Okay, you know what, I'll live with it, it's fine, you know. But after all, there is the potential that there is an Isser over here. There is a potential over here that she was Mizana Berotzen, or again that he was a Kohen, it was Ba'onis, and that she's also to him. So therefore we want that as soon as possible, while he's still while he's still very upset about it, he should come to Beis Din, and we'll get the whole thing hashed out. Now, of course, the question is, in that case, they could just as well get married on Sunday as well. We're going to deal with that point in the Gemara. So the Mishnah over here is telling us a reason why on Wednesdays, because Thursday is the next sitting of Beis Din, we're going to have a different reason. We're going to have a different reason in the Gemara. By the way, Tosfos points out it should be LaYom HaRevi'i, that is to say, during the day on Wednesday, rather than on Wednesday night, because after all, the Gemara has an expression elsewhere, like a ksuba b'lo romu batigra. Every ksuba, every marriage inevitably has some conflict involved. So therefore, if they make the wedding Wednesday night, they might get so busy with hashing out these things during the wedding that he's not going to even have the chance that night to have relations with her. And then he's missed his window of opportunity, because then by the time they first have relations, it's going to be Thursday night or sometime later. And again, it's going to be a few days before basically next sitting. Nowadays, by the way, that the Bate Dinim usually sit every day, then the reason for this takana no longer exists. We're going to say in the Gemara, though, there is a different reason for it, but ultimately we people get married every day of the week, except Shabbos, of course. There used to be a popular minhag, actually, for people to get married on Friday, on the theory, I guess, that way the wedding sudah could double as the Shabbos sudah. There is, in fact, a story involving the Ramah where one time there was a, speaking of Lekksuba de Leroma Bartigra, it happened once in Ramah's times, there was a Yisoma who was getting married, and there was an argument over the Naden, where it turned out that she couldn't afford it, and Chosin was refusing to go through with the wedding unless it could be secured, and it ended up being a whole Din Torah. The Kitzur, the Ramah that Amar finally got things straightened out. But by that time, it was already after Kabbalah Shabbos. Shabbos had already begun, and then Amar still went ahead and then did the chuppah anyway, even though you don't normally do a chuppah on Shabbos. Afterwards, he wrote a long tshuva justifying what he had done and showing how it is valid off the halacha. Nevertheless, though, that tehillah of Krakow made a takana in the future, no weddings on Fridays in order to avoid this kind of thing in the future. They had to work out, in other words, they had to work out what's going to be as far as the nadin, that somebody would guarantee that it would be paid, and so on and so forth. It wasn't tiny. It was just that, you know, there had been a promise that there was going to be X amount of a nadin, and now it seemed that there might not be. And so the chosin was saying, I'm not willing to go through with the wedding unless that's secured, unless that's guaranteed. I'll pick Kabbalah, though. There's a number of places in Sidus where it's brought the idea that on a deeper level, B'sulah Nisas, the Yom Ravi, the B'sulah over here refers to us Jewish people, who are called B'sulah in many places in Tanakh, and we have a marriage relationship with Hashem. But we know that we Jewish people are compared to the Levana, which waxes and wanes just like we do. And when was the Levana created? On Yom Ravi. So therefore, that creates an association between our marriage with Hashem and the Yom Ravi, where when the moon was created and then diminished and made to wax and wane on Wednesday, and the same way, that relationship between us and Hashem was set in motion in connection with that, in connection with the moon's changing, and ultimately, like we say in Kiddush Levana, Hashem, I said in this Kaddish Kamosa, we will be renewed just like the moon is renewed. And the words, Besolvani Sas, the MRV, are in fact Lashatevis Levana, representing that connection between us and the Levana, and that the original diminishing of the Levana makes it that we also diminish throughout history. We diminish and then increase, but eventually there's going to be Rahoya Ora Levana Kurachata.
Okay, now, Golas for like the Almana.
Now we're in Golas for like the Almana, and in the future we're going to be like the Besul and Nisas, right? And
it's even worse that we're past the Yom Shishi. We're already at the Yom Shishi.
So that's I didn't find that, but yeah, what we're saying over here, Almana the Yom Hamishi, and yeah, we're still awaiting that marriage to be established, right? Yeah. So there's more stuff. So Amar Tzidmar says, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Amru B'sula Nisas L'Yom Ravi. Why did the Chachamim say that a B'sula gets married on Wednesday? Now, what do you mean? Why we just said a Mishnah reason? But first, let's have his reason, and then we'll discuss it. So the Fisha Shani. Now we learn further on the Masechta. Like this. Now, we said that between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin in the Chuppah, in those times they usually had 12 months. Because it takes time to put together a wedding, it takes time to put together a nadin, to be able to start setting up a household, etc., a tachshitin for the cosmetics and jewelry and whatever for the kala. So they would usually have a 12-month period between the kiddushin and the nisuin. Nowadays, of course, we don't do that. We do the kiddushin right there under the chuppah. Anyway, so now during that time, during those 12 months, she's still living at home, and she's supporting herself, or her father is supporting her, or whatever. Eventually, one of the tnoi ksuba is that the husband has to support his wife. So we learn in the Mishnah. In a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, he gias man v'lo nisu. If that time came, 12 months are over, v'lo nisu, and they didn't get married. And we're going to talk about further on in the Gemara why they didn't get married. Was it something because of the husband's fault? Is it the wife's fault? Is it not really fault, but just something that happened involving the husband, involving the wife? We'll see. Anyway, Uchlis Nishaloi, she already can eat from his, meaning at that point he's chayav to support her. But Uchlis the Truma, and if she's a Bas Koyin, if he's a Koyin and she's a Bas Yisrael, then she would already be allowed to eat Truma. Actually, we're gonna talk about later on in the Masechta. So we learned in Yevamos, actually, we know that a wife of a Koyin is allowed to eat Truma. Midaraisa, even she could really be eating from when he was Makadisher. Midrabanan, we say that not for a couple of reasons that we learned about in Yevamos. One of them being that while she's at home, with her family who are Yisraelim, she might mistakenly give them some of the truma and they're not allowed to eat it, or there might be because he finds a mum or some other problem with her for which he's mevatel the kedushin, and then it comes out that retroactively she's eaten truma as a zara. But at any rate, we're saying once the 12 months are over, then she's entitled to support from him. And she's also entitled to eat truma. Yochli gias man be'echa b'shabbos ye malalam zaynus. So now you would think that if that 12 months is up on a Sunday, then he should already be giving her mezonos because the 12 months are up. But no, because l'chach shanin v'sulanisis li'yamirvi. That is why our Mishnah says v'sulanisis li'yamirvi, meaning the wedding has to take place on Wednesday. So therefore, in other words, when it comes Sunday or any other day of the week, the reason he's not marrying her is because of a takana of the Chachamim, so therefore it's not his fault, and therefore he's not yet chayav to support her during those couple of days until that day comes. Now, so there's essentially two ways of learning the question of the Gemara, and the answer of the Gemara. One is that we're saying that, the reason why to get married on Wednesday is going to be and that's what we're going to ask. What do you mean? The reason is based on our Mishnah, Shem Ha'ilatinas Pesulim. So one way of understanding it is that the Mishnah is telling us Pesulim Yisus V'Yemiravi to stress you can't just get married on any day of the week. There is a Takonas Chachamim on the subject, and the reason why that's important to know is because of this. Is because when does this Oichos Mishaloi kick in? When does his Chiyuv to support her kick in? Tosfos though says that the question is a little bit different. The question is, what is the nafkamina? What is the nafkamina of the fact that we're saying that they should get married on Wednesday? And if they were to get married, on any other day of the week, have they been over on anything? And the answer is that there is the nafkamina as far as him supporting her. And then the question would be then in that case, our Mishnah clearly said a nafkamina of it, because the point is we want to have that he goes as soon as possible to Beis Din if there's a tainus besulim. So why are we giving a different reason? So Omer Rav Yosef, Morei d'Avraham. Rav Yosef says, master of Avraham, which is like an expression of surprise, like he's swearing in Hashem's name. Toli Tanya v'deloi Tanya. Now, Rabbi Yosef himself had quoted this reason in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in turn in the name of Shmuel. But he's having quoted this reason, he's wondering, Toli Tanya v'deloi Tanya, why are we making what it says clearly in a Mishnah depend on what it doesn't say clearly? So number one, why is Shmuel even mentioning that? Our Mishnah clearly gives a reason for Besil v'Nises the Amirvi. According to Tosfos, our Mishnah is giving us a nafkamina of Besil v'Nises the Amirvi. So, and in fact, Tosfos goes so far as to say that if a person were to not do that, he would be called an avaya, and he's called that he's being over on a takana of the Chachamim. So our Mishnah gives a clear reason and a clear nafkamina for it. So why is Shmuel making what says clearly dependent on what it doesn't say clearly? In other words, why is he quoting that Mishnah of Oichlus v'Shaloi v'Oichlus v'Turma? So why is Rabbi Yosef wondering about it? So first of all, Rashi says, first of all, Rabbi Yosef quoted it, but now he's wondering, you know, now that I think of it, why did Shmuel say such a thing in the first place? And the second explanation, Rashi says, we know in many places in Shas that Rabbi Yosef, at one point in his life, became very sick and forgot his learning. And we often have that Abaya and other Talmidim of him have to remind him of what he taught. So now he had forgotten what the reason is that he remembered that he had said this statement, but he forgot why. He forgot what the rationale was behind it. So the Gemara says, "Hey Tanya, hey like Tanya, what do you mean? You're saying one is taught explicitly, and the other one is not taught explicitly? What do you mean? Ha'tanya v'ha'tanya. Both of them are clear mishnayos. V'sulbanis is the Yemirvi, and Higiyas man v'lenisu are both clear mishnayos in our Masechta. What do you mean that Rabbi Yosef is wondering why you're making one depend on the other? Ella, no, what Rabbi Yosef means is toli tanya demefarish taima v'tanya d'loy mefarish taima. Rabbi Yosef is wondering, our Mishnah gives a clear reason. Because you want that Shohayim Mashkin based in case he has a tainus v'sulbanis. So why is Shmuel seemingly ignoring that and finding a reason to marry Liyom Ravi based on a nafkamina, based on the Mishnah of Oifos Mishaloi Oifos Vetruma, when instead he should say the reason why is because our Mishnah says why, because Shem Ho'il HaTainas B'Solim. So that's what Rabbi Yosef is wondering about. So rather, if it was said, it was said as follows. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Omru, and this is, by the way, now we don't have Rav Yosef anymore, Tosfos points out, because this is Rav Yosef himself continuing, let me fix up what was said. Before I quoted them, now let me re-quote and explain what they actually meant. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Omru B'Silvan Nisus L'Yemirvi. Why did they say B'Silvan Nisus L'Yemirvi? The reason is in our Mishnah. Shem Ha'ad Tainas B'Silvan Ha'im Mashkin L'Basin. But that reason is still incomplete because v'tinasib echad b'Shabbos. After all, based on that reason, you could just as well get married on Sunday. Shem ha'ol tainus b'sulim ha'im mashkan b'sulim, and it would accomplish the same thing. If you have a tainus b'sulim, then you can go the next day to b'sulim on Monday. So our Mishnah gives a reason, but we need a deeper reason to explain why Dafka Wednesday. And the reason is, shaktu chachamim al tachonis b'nei Yisrael, the chachamim were diligent and careful about the tachana of Jewish women. They wanted that the wedding should be done in a dignified way. That this way the chassan works hard on preparing the suda for the wedding for 3 days. Echad b'Shabbos, v'sheni b'Shabbos, v'shlishi b'Shabbos. He works on it Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Over to B, Kainsa, and then right away on Wednesday, the next day, he can marry her. So in other words, the point is, if we were to get married on Sunday, you don't have that. You can't have 3 days of preparation before that. Yeah, then the food would spoil in between if you prepared it. Let's say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the previous week. Then meanwhile, you have a day of Shabbos in between, and then there's more of a chance that it's going to spoil. So instead, we want that he should be working hard on making a meal for 3 days, and then the fourth day on Wednesday he'll marry her. Now, in what way is that a takana for Bnei Yisrael? So first of all, Parsha means, in other words, like this, we're not just tossing off a wedding. It's not just going to be a quick slapdash thing. We're going to show her proper cover and make proper soda for it. The Ritva has an interesting point. He says that, after all, with the tainus b'sulim that we're talking about, there is always the possibility that the husband is just making it up, which we're going to talk about in our perek about the ins and outs of that. So now we said there is always the possibility that there is an issue involved, and therefore, on the one hand, we want him to go to Beis Din as soon as possible while he's still hot and bothered about it. On the other hand, the Ritva says, given that there is also the possibility that he's just making it up, or at least that he it could even be, remember, a tainus b'sulim, we said, is basically a monetary claim, saying that, you know, instead of 200, I want 100, I want to be on the hook only for 100. Well, there might be a case, let's say, where he actually knew, where he actually knows, and he found out quickly enough that the reason she's not a basula is because of one of these other things that doesn't make her, that can't possibly make her also to him. For example, mukas eitz, or being mezana before the kedushin, or whatever. And so then what we say is, now we have an expression in Yevamos, chazaka einan tereach basuda o mafsida. We have a chazaka, a person that's not going to work hard on making a whole suda and then ruin it just with something unfounded like that. So the Ritva says that's another reason why we want him to be working on the Suda for 3 days. This way, afterwards, he's likely to think to himself, you know what, having put in all that effort, what, I'm going to go and trump up charges against her, or I'm going to go and argue against her and based in just in order to save myself 100 zuz, I may as well not bother. And that way, it'll create that way. So that way, we don't have to go to based in at all. So that's the reason why Dafka Wednesday, because if it was on Sunday, you wouldn't have 3 days. So now Rabbi Yosef is explaining that Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Shmuel further. But Achshav Shashaninu Shoktu, now that we have this concept of Shoktu, we're going to use that term Shoktu throughout the Perek to mean that the Chacham, as a shorthand term for this Takana, that the Chachamim wanted that there should be 3 days of preparation at least before the wedding. So now that we learn that, and that explains, therefore, why the wedding can be no earlier than Wednesday, then it follows on the basis of that when we learn later in the Masechta, that when the 12 months are up, then she's already entitled to support from her husband, and if she's a Bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen, then she's allowed to eat Truma. Then we derive from that that Yizman Be'echad B'Shabbos, that if that day, if that 12 months expires on a Sunday, Mitoich She'en Yochel Lichnos, since he can't marry her, because if he were to marry her, then he would be an Avarian, anyway, because he was over on Takana of the Chachamim. So he can't. Therefore, he's not yet required to give her mezonos, because he can say, it's true, the 12 months are up. By rights, I should be marrying you, but I can't because the Chachamim are preventing me from getting married until Wednesday. And after all, it is a takana in your favor. And therefore, so I'm off the hook for mezonos for another couple of days. So in other words, now, so Tosfos teaches out, further on in the perek, we're going to talk about that a reason that it also has to do with bracha, that they're going to have their first relations on Wednesday night going into Thursday, and on Thursday a bracha was given to the fish, and then therefore that's an appropriate bracha for the chasen and kala. But after all, that would only be, that would only be eights of toiva. So if he were to get married on a different day of the week, we wouldn't call him an avaria, and we wouldn't say that he's over on Takanas Chachamim for that. Okay, he doesn't want the bracha, big deal. But now that we say shakti, it becomes an actual Takanas Chachamim, then therefore, when he doesn't get married on Sunday or on some other day of the week, it's not because he doesn't want to, it's because the Chachamim are preventing him. Therefore, he has a valid claim to say, I'm not yet chayev in mezonos for my wife until the day that the Chachamim actually allow me to get married. Now, I mean, there are different naftaminas in it. For example, you could have a case where for whatever reason it doesn't take 3 days to get the meal together. Or let me imagine, for example, you have, let's say, a lot of servants and they can prepare everything in one day or whatever. But so then the reason of our Mishnah might not apply, and then maybe indeed he would be chayev in mezonos even on a different day of the week. But in the normal case, we're saying that he only becomes chayev in them on Wednesday and no earlier. The flip side of it is, the flip side of it is, there's an interesting discussion about the point, what about the other way around now? So let's say, for example, that the 12 months expire on Thursday or on Friday. So now, from the point of view of Shloshi Yomim, from the point of view of Shaktu, that's already been fulfilled. He had 3 days in the week to prepare the Suda. On the other hand, the reason to get married on Wednesday is Shehoyah Mashkin or Bastin. But on the other hand, we can argue that's not really to her benefit, that he should go to Bastin as soon as possible. So maybe, in fact, if the year were to expire, let's say on a Thursday or a Friday, maybe indeed he would already be chayiv in mezonos at that point, because now he can't say that it's not my fault. I mean, he can say it's not my fault we're not getting married. It's true, but she can counterclaim. It's one thing if it was earlier in the week. I agree. You know, it's not your fault, but it's also at least I'm gaining from the fact that you have Shloshi Yom Besoda. But now, if it's Thursday or Friday, you're only delaying the wedding for a few more days because she Haya Tainis Pesulam Haya Mashkin Lebeistin. That's not reason enough to not give me my support. So you would owe that to me. Meanwhile, and there's such an argument can be made. So can he make the wedding before the 12 months are up? Sure, but I mean the normal thing is that they have a wedding, and actually it is also for her benefit. The point is Rashi quotes earlier from the Gemara later in the Masechta about this, that the Mishnah actually says Nosim b'psula shneimas achodesh kedei l'saken l'farnes atzim b'tachshitin. Now we give her the 12 months. During that time, she has time to get together her jewelry and cosmetics and whatever else she's going to need. So the 12 months is for her benefit as well. But again, there is the possibility that maybe if 12 months are up, later on in the week, then maybe she would have a valid claim to mezonos, even though the wedding itself can't take place for a few more days. Okay, so in other words, so Rabbi Yosef is saying, so the flow of what Shmuel had said was not, he's explaining the reason for Wednesday is based on, or the Naftamina of it, is based on the Oichlus Mishaloi V'Oichlus Petruma. On the contrary, our Mishnah gives a clear reason. Rather, our Mishnah is saying, what we're saying is the reason of our Mishnah is not enough. We need to also bring in the fact about Shaktu, and once we do that, and that explains to us the Mishnah of Oichlus Mishaloi V'Oichlus Petruma, that once the 12 months are up, we still have to wait until the next Wednesday before that Dean of Oichlus Mishaloi V'Oichlus Petruma will kick in. Lefichach, and therefore, Rabbi Yosef continues, based on that, we can also deduce, Cholahu, what happens if at the end of the 12 months he's sick? So what are we saying so far? That if there's an onus, then he's not yet required to support her until the onus is gone. So that's why we're saying, for example, if the 12 months are up on Sunday, then he's considered to be an onus to not be able to marry till Wednesday because of the takana of shoftu. Therefore, he's not chayav in his onus. By the same logic, cholahu, if he's sick, osha cholsehi, or if she's sick, osha pierce a nidda, or if he becomes a nidda, einim malolam his onus, then he doesn't have to give him his onus yet either because, again, all of those things are an onus. And we're saying that an onus is not yet chayav in giving her food. Now, the Gemara says, v'ikad deboi lo meboi. Now, in the first version that we have here, Rabbi Yosef is just saying it as a straight-out fact that we can deduce from this thing, from this whole discussion, that if there's any kind of onus, then he doesn't have to. So now others learned it as a series of questions. First of all, let's ask cholahu mau. What happens if at the end of the 12 months he is sick? Do we say hosam time in mind should be honest? Do we say the reason why if the 12 months are up on Sunday, for example, or any time earlier in the week, then he's potter from mizonis yet because he's honest? Well, the hochanami honus. After all, he also has an onus. He can't get married because of the onus. The difference might be that there, the onus comes from a takana of the chacham. So even if he wanted to, he couldn't go against that because, as Tosfos said, he would be called an avarian. He'd be called a bal averus if he did. If he did the wedding earlier and ignored the takana of shakti, and ignored the takana of having 3 days preparing for the wedding. If, let's say, he did it, yeah. So then you could say,
he did it on Wednesday before the Sunday.
That's what we're saying. So you're asking about what happens if he does it before the 12 months are over. That's what we just said. I mean, the 12 months, if he does it before the end of the 12 months, he's not an avalian. But she can say, I'm not ready yet because it's still a few days and I'm still getting together my tachshit and things. So fine, he'll tell her, okay, in that case, then I don't have to give you a mizonis yet. I anyway don't have to until the time is up. Now the 12 months are finally over on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so she says, where's my mizonis? And he says, I'm sorry, there's a takana of the chachamim. I can't marry you until next Wednesday. So there you could say, even if he wanted to be over on that, he couldn't or he shouldn't. And therefore, that would be a sworn kind of onus. But maybe you could argue that here where he's sick, that not. After all, he may be sick. It may be hard for him to pull himself out of bed and go to the wedding, but he could conceivably. So does she maybe have a valid claim to say that, you know what, it's not such a strong onus that you couldn't do something if you had to. So at least, fine, we have to delay the wedding, but at least give me his onus now. So does she have a valid claim for that? Now, if you're going to say that, yes, in that case, he would be chayiv in mizonis as soon as the 12 months are over, then we can ask a different question. What would happen if at that point she was sick? On the one hand, we could say, look, I'm ready to get married. If you're not ready to go to the chuppah and get married, then it's not my fault. The delay is from your side. Therefore, I shouldn't yet be chayiv in mizonis any more so than if, let's say, she had gotten cold feet b'chlal after the 12 months. He wouldn't yet be chayiv in mizonis at that point. So does he have such a valid claim? Or is there the possibility that she can tell him nistach v'sadehu? Literally, nistach v'sadehu means your field has been flooding. But it's an expression in many places in Shas that basically means it's your bad luck. You had a field that got flooded. It's your bad luck. But as of now, you have the responsibility to give me mizonis. So therefore, I want them even now, even though I'm sick and we have to postpone the wedding. Now, Tosfos at the top of the next Amud points out that you know, what about when he's sick? Why can't he tell her in the Nistachasadehu? So Tosfos gives two reasons. Number one, the mitzvah of getting married in Pruvu is more on men than on women. We learned in Yevamos, women are not even technically chayiv in Pruvu. Okay, we have an opinion of Rabbi Yechon ben Breka that they are. The halacha is not like him, though. So for her, the fact that the wedding is delayed is not a Nistachasadehu situation, because she's not chayiv to get married in the first place. Number two, also Tosfos says, given that the husband acquires the wife, her isha nichnis, then therefore, in that sense, she's more his field than the other way around. He's not her possession in that sense. So maybe again, she can argue nistachas adehu, so therefore it's your tough luck, and therefore you have still given me the zonus regardless. And the intinsaloima amrila nistachas adehu, if you say that she indeed could say nistachas adehu, so far we would say that whether he's sick or whether she's sick, he'd still be chayev mizonis once the 12 months are up. Then what about pirsa nidya mahu? What about if she became a nidya and therefore the wedding has to be postponed? Now, an interesting point about the wedding being postponed is the question really is, is chupas nidya koin? Now, we have, you know, it happens sometimes. I mean, people try as much as possible, and in that sense is correct up the halacha, to try and avoid a chupas nidya, and people will take various steps to avoid that. But if there was a chupas nidya, so first of all, there is actually a machlokes we're showing him what exactly the definition of chupa is. We talk about that chupa creates the nisuin, and then from now on, they're a married couple, and he's chayev in all the tnoi ksuba. What exactly is the definition of chupa? Is it, so many of the Rishonim say that it's yichud, so in that case the chuppah would be the yichud room of nowadays, or a variation of that means that he brings her to his house and they're alone together over there. There are Rishonim who learn that the chuppah is more like the badek, when she's covered with a veil, which we're going to talk about in the next perek, that in those days the minhag was that when the kala is covered with a veil, called the hinuma, in the next parak, then it's a siman that she's a basula. That was the standard thing that they did, one of the standard things they did for a basula. So there's a couple of possibilities. Now, if chuppah means the badekinish, or if it means the chuppah, there are also Rishonim who learn that it means more like what we think of as the chuppah, the structure with four poles and a canopy over it. So if it's that, if it's the badekin, or what we think of as the chuppah nowadays, then there's no particular reason it couldn't be done while she's a nidah. It's not like they're going to be having relations at that point necessarily. But if you say that it means yichud, the yichud or bringing her to his house, then it has to be the kind of yichud that is going to conceivably result in relations. And if she's a nidah, it can't be. So therefore, so a chupas nida is questionable whether it's koina. So because of that question is why we try to avoid it. If it happens, then we follow the poskim who say that it is koina. However, we know that there are various steps that have to be taken because of the fact that she's a nida. The chassan has to be extra careful when he's putting the ring on her finger not to touch her, because he's not allowed to touch her while she's a nida. The yichud room is the door has to be left open, or there has to be shomrim in there or something. Even when they go to sleep at night, they need shomrim. They have kids along to be shomrim if they don't do anything. But in principle though, there shouldn't be a chupas nida. And again, you actually have you try to avoid it. And again, there are poskim who say that it wouldn't even be koyin. Anyway, so pirsa nida mahu. So now going back to the Gemara, if we assume so far that if he's sick or she's sick, then still he's chayev in the zonis, because if he's sick, then she can tell him, look, it's not an onus that you're absolutely forbidden to do anything. It's just you're saying you're sick and you can't, but pull yourself out of bed and do it anyway. Or if she's sick, then she can say nistachas adehu. What about if she's nida? Now, b'shas vest aloti bozo. Now, if she becomes a nida at the expected time of her vest, then there's no question. Then she's not able to say nistachas adehu, because it's not nistachas adehu implies that there was an unexpected thing, which is your bad luck. But if it's b'shas vesta, then it's not an unexpected thing. So then, yes, he would have, so we could say he would have a valid claim to say, look, since you're nida and we have to postpone the wedding, then therefore I'm not yet chayav in mizonis until that's over. Kiti boiloch shaloi b'shas vesta mai. The question is going to be, what about if it's not at the time of her vest? Well, then it's an unexpected thing. So my, then what would we say? Would we say kiven deloy v'shas vesta have a matzia amel and estachos adehu? Do we say, well, it's not the time of her vest, it's an unexpected thing, therefore she could say estachos adehu, it's your tough luck, but I would be all ready to go on with the wedding except that you have bad luck and I'm nida at an unexpected time, therefore still give me mizonis. On the other hand, you could say the fact is there are women who have irregular vestas. Nowadays, most women do. In the times of the Gemara, it seems most women had a very regular vest, but once in a while, still, it could change. So therefore, Kishas Vesta Dummy, so maybe whether it was at the time of her vest or not, maybe either way, it would be considered as the time of her vest. In other words, because he should have always realized that there is that possibility that she's going to become nida and the wedding is going to be postponed, and therefore she can say that you knew that there was this possibility that there's this reasonable possibility that it could happen, and therefore in Stachta Sadehu. So what is it? Which, by the way, the Ga'onim have a rule, and the Rambam uses it, and other Rishonim use it, that when the Gemara has a series of questions like that, and each one, it says, im tim taloima, such and such, then what would be the din in the next one? We always say then that the halacha is like the im tim taloima. So according to that, it would come out that in this series of questions, when he's sick, we said, im tim taloima, then he has to give him a zonus, and the question is chol sehi. So yes, the halacha would be that if cholahu, then he still has to give him a zonus, and if chol sehi, same thing. The only question would be about the nida. So the Gemara says poshit Rabachoi. So Rabachoi answers it on the basis of the Mishnah that we quoted before. This expression poshit Rabachoi is an interesting one. Tosfos brings here from the Rashbam that the Rabachoi over here is Rabachoi Goin, the author of She'iltas. The question is, in other words, why the expression poshit Rabachoi is kind of unusual. Usually the expression would just be Omer Rabachoi or something like that. Poshit Rabachoi is an unusual expression. So Tosfos brings from the Rashbam that this is actually Rabachoi Goin who wrote She'iltas. So he was at the end of all the Amoraim, and therefore he uses this unusual expression. Also, you have in other places in Shas Porich Rabachoi. Tosfos says no, because in the continuation of our Gemara, we're going to have Rav Ashi is going to answer back on what he says. If it was Rav Achoi, then how could that be? Rav Ashi was before him. So therefore, Tosfos says no. It's just there was an Amora during the regular period of Amoraim named Rav Achoi, and sometimes you have different Amoraim use different unusual lashonis of their own. This actually that the Rashbam says it was Ezra Bachoi who wrote She'iltas itself is a little hard to understand, because Rabachoi who wrote She'iltas was one of the Ga'onim. He lived several hundred years after Rav Ashi. What would anything from him be doing in the Gemara anyway? After the Rabbanan Savaroi, nobody's adding anything to the Gemara. So in fact, Doris HaRishonim explains that what it really should be, the words in Tosfos, Goin, She'osa, She'iltas, don't belong in there. What the Rashbam meant, that what Tosfos is quoting, the Rashbam is meaning, is that it was Rav Achoi, one of the Rabbanon Sevarot. We find in Rav Shura Goin Zigeres, where he lists the Chachmei Hadoros, he mentions the Rabbanon Sevarot, he mentions one of them named Rav Achoi. So the Rashbam is arguing that it's him, in which case it's a generation after Rav Ashi, and Tosfos is saying that no, because then how could Rav Ashi be responding to him? But not that he's from the Ga'onim who were a couple of hundred years later. So he says what it is who's the famous Rav Achoi in history? Rav Achoi Goin. So when somebody in Tosfos wrote over here, Rav Achoi, when Tosfos wrote over here, Rav Achoi, and somebody was copying it out for themselves, they maybe put like a marginal note for themselves, which Rav Achoi? Probably the Goin, Shalsa Shiltas, and somebody else thought that, that's part of the actual text of Tosfos. Anyway, so you have a few different possibilities who this Rav Achoi was. Anyway, so Rav Achoi answers, let's look at that Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, Higiyas man v'lo nisu. The Mishnah says, when the time comes, the 30 days are up, and they didn't get married, Oichlis v'shaloi v'oichlis v'tirumah. Already she's entitled to mezonos from her husband, and she's entitled, and if she's a bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen, then she's able to eat tirumah. Now, loy nosu loy katon. Now, the expression is not loy nosu, which would imply that it's a voluntary thing. They didn't get married because one side or the other got cold feet or something else. Elo loy nisu. And so loy nosu would imply that the husband is the one who, because of the husband, the wedding is being postponed. But instead, the expression is loy nisu. The word nisu is passive. The man is the active partner in the marriage. The woman is the passive one. So lo nisu, she was not married, implying ella lo nisu. So in other words, even when the delay is because of her. So Tosfos says, now after all, nasu and nisu are both written, they could both be written nun samach nun sin aleph vav, but they had the kabbalah first of all that it should be read as nisu, and second of all, Tosfos says if the word lo nasu was referring to the husbands, then the word shouldn't be ochlis mishaloi, it should be ochlis mishalahem, referring to all the various husbands in the world. The fact that it says loy nisu implies we're talking about the women, and therefore ochlis, they, the women, because remember a man can marry more than one woman, mishaloi, from his, because there's only one husband. But in other words, the point is, loy nisu implies that the delay is because of something on the woman's side, so hey, he dummy. So Rav Achoy says, let's consider, what would be the scenario? If it's that they could get married and she's actually delaying it, she's getting cold feet, am I ochlis mishaloi v'ochlis truma? Why should she be entitled to mezonos from him or to eat truma? She's delaying the wedding voluntarily, so that doesn't put a chiyuv on him. Ella lav de'itis ki haidama. Evidently, says Rav Achoy, we must be talking about where there's an onus similar to what we just described, for example, that she became nida. And we're saying that she is entitled to support from him and the truma. So therefore, so you see, says Rav Achoy, that even if there's an onus, that even if the delay is from her side, as long as it is an onus, and being nidah is considered an onus, even if it was shaloi b'shas vesta, then yes, she's still already entitled to support. On the other hand, Amar Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi says that's not a solid proof. You could always say maybe that when there's an onus, maybe she's not entitled to support yet until the wedding actually takes place. You could argue that it does mean that the husband is the one who's delaying, and therefore the wife is entitled to say, look, you're delaying for whatever reason, but the fact is the 12 months are up, start supporting me. So, and with dinu de ibarla the misni loy nosu, it's true that the Mishnah should have phrased it loy nosu, the husband did not marry the wife. In other words, that the fault is his. The Ivy, the Tana Resha Bididi, Tana Nami, Sefer Bididi. But since the first part of the Mishnah there begins talking about her, because it says noisten lubsula shnei masachodesh, that we give her 12 months to prepare her, to prepare the necessities for her wedding. So therefore, it continues talking about her nisu, even though in truth the din would be, says Rav Ashi, might apply only if the delay is from the husband's side, but not necessarily from the wife's side. Okay. In any case, we have established that certain kinds of onsin do still put him on the hook for mizonis for her. So what exactly the nature of the onus is, we're talking about, but we do have the basic fact that when there's an onus, then nevertheless, he still has to start supporting her, even though the wedding can't take place yet. So Amar Rava, ul'inyin gittin ene kein. When it comes to gittin, it's not like that. Meaning, a man can give his wife a get on a condition, and the condition could involve something that he's going to do, even if that condition didn't take place because of an onus, nevertheless, the get is still valid. So we're going to talk about a condition where, for example, he says that the get will take effect if I don't come back, if I don't come back by such and such a date. So then, even if he doesn't come back because of an onus, nevertheless, the get is valid. So we say, ain onus begitin, we say there's no taina of it was an onus, and therefore the get shouldn't take effect. The get takes effect regardless. So Alma Kasava Rava ain onus begitin, meaning that Rava holds exactly that ain onus begitin, if you made a condition and you failed to fulfill the condition because of an onus, then the get takes effect. So the Gemara says, Minole le Rava ha. Now where does Rava get that from? Are you going to say that Rava learns it from the Mishnah that says in Gittin that if a man says to his wife, he says, this is your get, and it should take effect if I don't come back within 12 months from now? Now, he might want to do that. For example, if let's say, they're childless, and we know from Yevamos that she's going to have to do Yibum or Chalitza. So on the one hand, he wants to give her a get in case he disappears. This way she won't be an Aguna, etc. On the other hand, he, uh, On the other hand, he wants to stay married to her in between. So he says, if he dies during the 12 months, now obviously that's the ultimate onus, and the Mishnah says, ain't a get. So the Mishnah says it's not a valid get because the get doesn't take effect until 12 months are over. Meanwhile, by the during the 12 months, he died and a mess can't be Magadish. So if he had said, if he had said that it takes effect as of now, then retroactively, then yeah, you could say it works. But here, where he didn't say that, he said, I'm giving you the get now. It should only take effect in 12 months. If I haven't returned, well, by the time the 12 months come, he's dead, and a dead person can't be Magadish. In fact, I mean, there's a point in the Gemara in general talks about the idea, ain't get la achamisa. The point is that even here, you could argue, after all, that there is, that you could argue there still exists the Zika. Maybe isn't the Zika reason enough to say that maybe the get should be able to have a certain validity? No, we don't say that. That's why it actually stresses the point, Eina Mason Megarishin, dead people can't give a get. So the implication, you could say, is Mesu de Eina get, Hochola Hareza get. You could argue then that the Mishnah is saying only because he died is it not a get, because Eina get Lachamisa. But you could argue if he became sick and didn't come back during the 12 months, then in fact it would be a valid get, hachala hareza get. So that would show ein onus begitin. So in other words, what was the condition? If I don't return in 12 months, then the get should be in effect. So now he can say, well, I didn't come back at the end of the 12 months because I was sick. Therefore, the get should not be a valid get. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that nevertheless it is a valid get. And that would show, therefore, that ein onus begitin, a claim of onus is not valid, it doesn't mean anything when it comes to getin. So is that where Rava is getting it from? No. The Dilma la'olam ein la'cholam nami ein get. Maybe indeed if he became sick, any reason that prevented him from coming back by the end of the 12 months is not considered, it would be mevatel to get. Behi gufa kamash mwanda ein get la'achamisa. That, but the Mishnah wants to stress the actual point that ain't get la'achamisa, which otherwise we might not have known. And she says, what do you mean? Ain't get la'achamisa, ha'tonele reisha. What do you mean? We already have the reisha that tells us that. The Mishnah over there says, ha'reza gitach immati, that he says to her, this is your get, and it should take effect if I die, or ha'reza gitach mecholizeh, or if he says, I'm giving you this get if I don't recover from this illness, or hareza gitach achamisa, or this is your get, and it should take effect after I die. So if he uses any of these expressions, loy amaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. So we know already ain't get la'achamisa. So we don't need another Mishnah to tell us that. So if the Mishnah is telling us that if he says 12 months, it must mean that it means dafka is mess, but not a chola. And that would support Rava's point. That would be where Rava is getting it from. But the Gemara says, no, you could say that the Mishnah about the 12 months is telling us that the Tana of the Mishnah is telling us don't hold like Rabbi Sein. The Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Sein uhitiruhali nase. That in a case like that involving the 12 months, where he didn't come back by the end of the 12 months because he died, Rabbi Seinu, which we're going to say in a second, who Rabbi Seinu are, allowed her to marry. In other words, that she doesn't need chalitza. The whole purpose of this get, again, was that she shouldn't need chalitza or yibum. So now they're saying the get does take effect. And therefore she doesn't need chalitza. So maybe the Mishnah is telling us that don't think that way. Rather, you should know she does need chalitza because the get is ineffective. Now we explain in the Gemara there, man Rabbi Seinu, who are these Rabbi Seinu? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Beit Din of the Sharu Mishcha. This is the Beis Din that was matir oil. So this is the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Gemara tells, the Mishnah and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tell us that there used to be a takana. The Gemara says that Daniel made this takana, that oil, olive oil made by goyim without hashgacha by Jews is also to use. When Daniel and his friends were taken to Nebuchadnezzar's palace, they have to take steps. They know there's going to be a golus. They have to take steps to prevent Jews from assimilating among the goyim. So the same way as we can't have wine of goyim and bread of goyim and bishul and cooked and bishul akum and so forth. The same way there was a gzeira of shemen akum. So the Gemara explains there in Avodah Zarah that eventually the Chachamim figured out that most of the Jewish people had never accepted this takana on themselves. And in Gozim Gzera al Tzibra Elam Ken Yecholim Ma'amidva. So therefore, sort of Yehuda Nasiya, a few hundred years after, so usually, the Gemara says, usually a Beis Din can't abrogate something that was done by a previous Beis Din, almost a greater B'chochma over Minyan, but over here, where it was never accepted by most of the Jewish people, then they were able to. The Yerushalmi adds another point as well, that at the time of Yehuda Nasiya, most of the olive oil producing areas of Eretz Yisrael were in Goyish hands, so it was starting to get dangerous. A Yid would go over there to supervise, like the way a Jew would go to a farm to supervise the milking, and he'd be in danger from the Goyim, so therefore they found that, and they used olive oil then a lot more than we do now. So therefore it was like a necessity to be able to have it, and therefore the Chachamim canceled it. So that based in, it became a famous thing that they had been after that. And then, so always in the Gemara, whenever we want to identify the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, we call them the Beis Din that was Matir oil, because it became a very famous thing that they did. Anyway, so those Rabbi Seinu hold that a get that was given where he says, Im loy bosi mikan van shnei masachodesh, that if he dies during the 12 months, they say the get is valid. Now, how could that be? You say a mess can't be Megadish, because Sabri Vak Rav Yosi, because they hold like Rav Yosi, the Amaz Zmane Shashar Mechiach Olam. They hold a get has a date in it. The date itself demonstrates when the get was meant to take effect. In other words, they take the view. So he had given her the get, on Tes Tammuz Tovshin Pei Aleph a year ago. He said, Im loy bosi mikan van shnei masachodesh, comes Tes Tammuz Tovshin Pei Beis, and he's died. But the fact that the get is dated Tes Tammuz Tovshin Pei Aleph means, Rav Yosi says, he meant the get to take effect as of then. It's as if he had explicitly said that it should take place and in that case it was valid because on Tes Tammuz last year he was still alive. So therefore Rabbi Seinu hold that the get now takes effect. Now Tosfos points out that a get has to have a date from Takanas Chachamim anyway. A get without a date would be possible to Rabbanan. But if it was just for reasons that we're going to discuss later on in Amar Sefta and in Gittin, anyway, but the point is, if it was just that, Tosfos says he wouldn't have to write an exact date. He wouldn't have to write Tes Tammuz Tovshin Pei Aleph. He could have just written, for example, he could have even written the Shemitah that it's in. He could have even written that it was during Shemitah cycle such and such, and that would be good enough to fulfill the Takonis Chachamim to have a date in the get. The fact that he wrote an exact date, Tes Tammuz Tovshin Pei Aleph, showed that he meant it to take effect of then, says Rabbi Yosi. And Rabbi Seinu followed that view. So now we could say the Mishnah in Gittin is not necessarily telling us that that there's a difference between mess and that there's a difference between mess and chola. It wants to stress for us that even if mess, don't think the get should be valid on the basis of what Rabbi Seinu are saying. No, it's still invalid because they don't hold like Rabbi Yosi and the Tana of that Mishnah doesn't hold en get lachamisa. So that doesn't constitute a solid proof for what Rava is saying, that ein onus begit. So the Gemara says, the Elam is safer, so maybe we can say that Rava is learning it from the safer of that same Mishnah, where it continues, Me'achshav imay bosim l'tan ba'ad yud v'schodesh. If he does clearly say that the get should take effect as of now, retroactively, if I don't return by the end of the 12 months, or mes v'seich shem asachodesh, and he dies during the 12 months, harei a get, so then it is a valid get, and you could argue mes v'hu adin l'chola, and you could argue maybe that it means not only if he was dead, but also if he was sick and couldn't come because of that. So wouldn't that show Rava's point that ain't onus begitin, even though he could say, I would have returned if I could have. Nevertheless, the fact is either he didn't return by the end of the 12 months, therefore the Tanai is fulfilled, and therefore the get is valid. But you could say maybe not. Dilma mes davka. Maybe specifically the Mishnah is talking about where he died, and the reason the get is effective. Dilma nichalei to tipo kama yavam. Because after all, why did he give her the get in the first place? Because he didn't want her to deal with yibum or chalitza. So therefore, when he made the tnai, he davka limited it. Not, in other words, the key thing is whether I return. The key thing is, am I still alive at the end of 12 months? So if he's sick, maybe we would say, okay, I didn't return, but that's not the condition that I had in mind when I gave the condition. I was talking davka about if I die. Because I don't want her to have to end up with a yibum. Ella, no. Rather, we can say that Rava learns it meha. Maybe he can't learn it from a Mishnah, but he learns from a case. There was a case of a man who said to the Edim who wrote the get, if I don't return within 30 days, then this get should take effect. And sure enough, he came at the end of the 30 days, but he was stopped on his way by the ferry. So he had to take a ferry to cross the river to get back to his city, and he wasn't able to because the ferry wasn't available then. It was out of service. So he calls out across the river, look, I'm coming. In other words, I don't want the get to take effect. And Shmuel says, doesn't matter. We still don't say that he actually came. In other words, that would show ein onis begitzin. But the question is, the duma onsa de shchiach shein. Maybe it's different with an onis that's more common. In other words, we have to distinguish between different levels of onis. There could be an onus which is something that would almost never happen. You would have an onus that can happen all the time, for example, that the ferry is not available. And then you have sort of a middleweight onus, for example, that the person died, which eventually everybody dies, but still, you don't expect necessarily that it's going to happen within a certain time frame. So you could say, So you could argue, since he could have made a t'nai, he could have explicitly put into the t'nai, if I don't come within 30 days, or if I come within the 30 days, but I can't get across because of the ferries there, not there or whatever. So he should have included that in the t'nai, and if he didn't, you could argue that he ruined things for himself. He could have explicitly put that condition in the t'nai, and he didn't. So Tosfos explains, now you have, for example, based on a Gemara in Gittin, that says that if he was eaten up by a lion, then we're not sure if the get is valid, then we say it's not a valid get. So that's where Tosfos distinguishes. There's an onus of the chlal completely uncommon, like a person being eaten by a lion. You can't expect that he should have included such an off the wall condition. Versus, you have something like this, that the ferry wasn't available, was a common enough thing that he should have thought of that and included it in his tenai. And if he didn't, you could argue that he ruined things for himself. But that wouldn't show that an onus that's in between those, for example, an onus that he died, that should prevent the get, that should make it that the get is or isn't effective. Not necessarily. Rava is saying, ein onus begitin, but you can't necessarily prove that from that case about the ferry. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and discuss. So where does Rava get his opinion from? And by the way, we're going to have later on in the Gemara, we're going to have another Lashon where Rava says that Yesh Onus Begitin. Usually when we have two Lashonis in the Gemara, usually the Halacha is like the second one. But here the Tosfos Rid points out, and all the other Rishonim also point out, that here the Halacha is in fact like the first Lashon. So in fact, we do say Ein Onus Begitin. If a person made a T'nai on a get, and there was an onus that prevented him from, and there was an onus. Nevertheless, the t'nai, we still consider the t'nai as if we don't look at the fact that he didn't do it because of onus. We say the fact is it wasn't done, and therefore whatever was triggered by that gets triggered. Shukriya, everyone.